Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to Focus on the Upstate, a pre-recorded production and a program dedicated to informing you about organizations that serve our community and how you can get involved with them. Here's your host, Timothy Holcomb.
Welcome into Focus on the Upstate. I'm your host, Timothy Holcomb, and this week we are talking with Allie Van Dyke with The Blood Connection. Today we talk about new protocols in place in order to donate blood, how the COVID vaccine is going to affect that process, and much more. Allie, how are you doing today?
I am good. Thank you for having me to share this information.
Yeah, absolutely. No problem. Give me a brief intro to someone that may not know as much about Blood Connection. What does your organization do? Does it take donation blood-wise? Just give the audience a brief description of what the Blood Connection does.
Absolutely. So the Blood Connection is the Upstate's exclusive blood provider. So what that means is that every hospital in the Upstate, their blood is provided by us, the Blood Connection. And blood can only be donated. It can't be manufactured or replicated. So that means that every blood unit that we're supplying to any Upstate hospital has come from somebody who has donated with the Blood Connection. So it's a really cool story of neighbors helping neighbors all the time, because that's a relationship that we have with every Upstate hospital. We also do our own testing and processing. So every unit of blood collected comes back to our headquarters here in Piedmont, South Carolina, just right outside Greenville. It's all processed in-house and then sent right back out to the hospitals and the communities that it was donated in. So it really is an organization that shows, here's how to help a neighbor. You know, blood products are needed no matter what's going on. So in a pandemic, you need blood products. And sorry, I am outside, so excuse me for that loud noise. But, you know, blood products are always needed. So somebody may have a blood disorder, somebody may have cancer, and those are needed for, you know, blood products are needed for those treatments and to help those patients. So the need for blood is constant. That's why the community probably hears us asking for blood all of the time, because it is a constant need. In a pandemic, not in a pandemic, people are always going to need it. And there's hundreds of people a day. You know, for our organization, we need 800 blood donations per day, which looks like about 1,000 people trying to donate blood a day, because some people will be deferred for natural reasons. That's a lot of people to have coming in and out of our doors and our blood centers and our blood mobiles every single day. So it's a well-oiled machine, but it is really critical work to get blood products to our hospitals every day, no matter what. And we have, you know, just the other day we had a hospital tell us that one of their patients needed 150 blood units alone.
Wow.
150. That is 150 people who had to donate blood for that one patient to get treated. And obviously that was a trauma case. That patient lost a lot of blood quickly, which means he or she needed a lot of blood in that moment. So those are the kind of things that no hospital knows is going to come through their door on a day-to-day basis. We don't know. We can't prepare for it. So having a stable blood supply is really the only way that we can make sure that everyone is taken care of, no matter when it happens.
Right. And that is so imperative. That's crazy to think 150 people were needed just to support one person who needed blood immediately. Now, say someone wants to give blood, but they're not registered. Because I think I saw something the other day, like 95% of the population really wants to donate blood, but about 50 some percent of them are actually registered. So how can someone, he or she, that is interested in donating blood, how can they register?
Yeah, so it's actually pretty simple. It's not like voting where you have to be registered or anything like that before coming in. So if you're a new blood donor, you simply just let us know that, and we will register you right there, and you'll be able to get a blood donor account there and be able to do your donation. So it's a really simple process, honestly. If you either find a blood center near you or a blood mobile, it's the same process either way, and you can become a loyal blood donor. Now, if you give whole blood, which is that regular blood donation, you can give every 2 months. But then we have a donation called platelet donation. Platelets are needed mostly for cancer patients. You can donate every 2 weeks with platelets. So, and then when we were doing plasma, you could give that every 2 weeks as well. So there's different procedure types, a lot to learn about this. We encourage people to come in just for a regular whole blood donation first, ask some questions, get to know, you know, the phlebotomist and where you're donating, and then also log into your account and see what your blood type is, and then learn more about your blood type and what is most useful for us in terms of what the hospitals need.
Right. So now some people will look at this and be like, well, we still technically are in the midst of a pandemic, hopefully on the backslope of this. About when this thing first started about a year ago, how did the blood connection keep going? Did it keep going? And what kind of precautions are still in place?
Absolutely. Yeah. Last March was a very hard month for us, as you can imagine, but we are an emergency service, so we cannot stop. We are like a hospital. We cannot close down. We do not close down. We are open 24/7, 365. We have all shifts. People work all shifts for all the processing and everything that I explained before. So we do not close, and that was not an option. And even in this pandemic where everything was super unknown, we still knew that there were patients in hospitals that didn't have COVID-19 that still needed treatment, that required blood products. And that was what was driving us to figure out, how are we going to do this? Because obviously in March, what happened is everybody canceled their blood drives. Well, as you can imagine, we can't get all the blood we need at the centers that we have. We absolutely need we have about, you know, more than 50 blood mobiles as an organization. We needed those to be used to collect blood because our centers couldn't possibly collect all the blood we needed, that 800 a day. So we have to figure out, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? And thankfully, with all the pleas we put out to the media and showing people how it was still safe, you know, city governments and state governments helped out a lot in giving us an ordinance that said that blood drives were not public gatherings and that it was an essential civic duty to donate blood. That message really helped, because it was showing people that there was a safe way to do it and that it absolutely had to be done. There was no workaround to this. Like I said, you can't manufacture it like a vaccine. You can't make one and then replicate it. You have to have it donated from a lot of people every single day. And so we were trying to spread that message to the community. Like, I know that we're all scared and fearful of this virus, but we're going to do the best we can. And to know that we're not the only community blood center. We were taking cues from other blood centers our size across the nation and trying to figure out, you know, we're all part of a national network talking to each other. What are you doing? What are you doing? And kind of learning from each other. And so through that, we figured out the right safety protocols. You know, we started, obviously, as the mask ordinances started coming out, we were following those first with our staff. Then it became mandatory for donors to wear masks. We were increasing our cleaning protocols between each donor, changing the actual cleaning solution we were using for that to be stronger, to make sure it was, in fact, killing COVID-19, that virus. And just taking all of our cues from the CDC and the FDA on what we should do, making sure there weren't too many people on a blood mobile. We are still restricting that. Only people who are screening or donating could be on a blood mobile. And also making sure that we don't have our waiting room packed in our centers. So at the beginning of COVID, a lot of people were having to wait outside of our centers just because we were limiting the number of people inside. So that has all worked. Thankfully, you cannot pass on COVID-19 through a blood donation or blood transfusion. That message really helped as well. And I think we just did a good job of showing people that it is important to help in this way. You know, people couldn't go anywhere. They couldn't do what they wanted to do. All their plans were canceled. But the one thing you can do through all of this is donate blood. And a lot of people, thank goodness, they listened to that and they came out. We stayed afloat. But ironically, we're actually doing worse right this second than we were this time last year in terms of blood supply. So that that might be confusing to people, but that is the reality we're living in right now, is right. That our blood supply, we are at a urgent need right now, which means that our supply is dangerously low. and our supply is definitely worse right now than it was during the pandemic last year.
That definitely needs to get out there, because people, the blood connection, donating blood supplies to hospitals, saving lives, is very imperative, if you can, to do that, for sure. Now,
absolutely.
When someone donates blood, do you guys try to keep it regionally, like very close? Like, does it sometimes get shipped to other states? Like, how does that work?
Yes, our mission is to keep our blood supplies local. So because we're only collecting locally, it is only going to those local hospitals. So, you know, it's really hard to explain getting into the weeds of all the processing, just because blood has a shelf life, has to be processed in a certain amount of time. But yes, our focus is to keep blood donations local. So especially here in the upstate, that is important, because we are the exclusive blood provider for all of the upstate hospitals. So no other blood provider is helping any of the hospitals. So when you donate with the blood connection here in the upstate, you know that that's going to help a neighbor.
So now I want to speak to a fact of the other side. Say someone is not in a life-threatening situation, but they still need blood. Is there a certain way for those type of people to be able to reach out to you and ask for that?
Yeah, so we have different programs where you can host a blood drive in honor of someone who is currently battling something where they need blood products. And so that's something where we just really want to engage that person in hosting a blood drive. So, you know, obviously, hospitals are the ones determining where the blood goes. So once the blood leaves our facility, that is in the hospital's hands. But our job as a blood center is to make sure that they're not having to choose between a trauma patient who needs that blood immediately or somebody who needs treatment. Everybody should be able to getting the blood products when they need it. But to your point, if somebody wants to help kind of replenish the supply that they have used, it's common for people to host blood drives in honor of someone who is still alive but needing blood products. And we have a program for that where they can get a credit based on the number of people who have donated at that blood drive in their honor. They can get a credit to help pay for the services at the hospital for those blood products. So there are a lot of programs that we have. That's just one of them. But going on our website, thebloodconnection.org, does explain that program. And also a lot of other programs, like ones that we hold in memory of someone who has passed away. Those blood drives also are very impactful in the community, too.
Gotcha. A lot of people may be wondering and waiting just to see, are you going to require people have the vaccine before they're able to give blood?
No, we are not requiring that. You can get the vaccine, though, and donate blood. You do not have to wait. So you can, you know, go to your vaccine appointment in the morning, and as long as you're feeling well, you can come and donate blood in the afternoon. You do not have to wait at all. You can get one shot and then donate, and then get your second shot and donate. You know, it doesn't matter which shot you have, as long as it's one of the three released right now, which is Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. Obviously, we'll change that if another one comes out and is approved, but right now it's just those three. But it's not required, but it's also okay if you have been vaccinated. It does not affect your blood donation eligibility.
Gotcha. Okay. I just wanted to clear that up just to be sure if myself or people that I know want to give blood stuff, we can be able to answer that right now.
Yeah.
And I noticed y'all have a point system. Speak to how that works and how people use that said point system.
Absolutely. So this is, you know, we always want to give our donors a thank you gift. I mean, we want to show them we appreciate them. So this is primarily for center donors, but we do sometimes run these points promotions on our blood mobiles. But basically what it is it obviously depends on your procedure types. We have a different points tier system for our platelet donors, because you are able to donate that more frequently than you are a whole blood donation. But basically what it is you earn a certain number of points based on the promotion for that day after your donation, and then those go into your account. And then you can log into your account and go on our TBC store, and you can cash those points out for a gift card of your choice. And we have so many gift cards. I'm sure there's going to be a gift card on there that somebody is going to like, you know, Starbucks, Target, Home Depot, all of those places. And you can either get multiple gift cards for a certain amount or get one gift card with a large amount. You can cash out your points all at one time, or you can do it whenever you'd like, maybe right after you earn them, you want to cash it out. And then the gift card comes through your email. So it's an e-gift card. You can't lose it. And you just scan the barcode just like a regular gift card at the store where you're going. So it's really that simple. It's definitely something that people learned more about during the pandemic, because we had a lot more first-time donors and they were asking a lot of questions about it. But we, in times of urgent need, we offer more points, sometimes for certain blood types. Like right now, we're really low on B negative, which is actually a rare blood type. We are offering, you know, sometimes offer bonus points for people who are B negative, things like that. So our Facebook page is going to be the best place to find out what those promotions and when they're running for the points. But it's really unique because it allows the donor to choose what they want instead of us giving them a gift card and just saying, here it is. They can go on the store and pick out what they want.
With said something that's going to lead into my next question. What specific blood types are needed? Like, I know you mentioned one, but what are some other ones that are really in desperate need right now for donation?
Yes. O negative and O positive. So O negative, only about 7% of the population actually has O negative blood. And then you think about how few people actually donate blood. That's hard because when a hospital like that 150 unit situation that I explained earlier, that was, I don't know this for sure, but it needed to be a universal blood type. And because in that time, you don't have time to type the patient and figure out what blood type they are. As a doctor, they're trying to figure this out as quick as they can. So O negative is the one they're going to reach to because it's the universal donor. It can be accepted by any blood type. And so we need that a lot because hospitals use it a lot. And it's just, it's crazy that the fact of the matter is not a lot of people have that blood. So we do reward our O negative donors because we want them to understand how special they are. I know that's not something we can change about ourselves, our blood type, but we do want to appreciate the people who loyally give with us when they have O negative blood. And then O positive too, that has grown in popularity with hospitals as well. That's a widely used blood type. Thankfully, a lot more people have O positive. I have O positive blood. It's pretty common. I am actually, well, O negative is rarer, but O positive is, you know, that's a little more common. I feel like if you ask some friends, you probably have some friends who are O positive. But no, I am not like the gem rare O negative one. Oh. Those are the gems out in the world. But O positive, again, like I said, it's being widely used in hospitals as well. So we are mostly asking for O negative, O positive, and B negative a lot.
Well, I want to kind of end today's show with a little bit of a myth slash truth type thing. I have about 8 questions for you.
Sure.
Just figure out, tell me which ones are myth, obviously, and which ones are fact. Okay, you ready?
Okay, yeah.
All right. Some people are not able to donate blood if their iron is too low.
That is true. So this is just for the safety of the donor. We have FDA guidelines that tell us where someone's iron is supposed to be. Basically, it's not like there's anything wrong with the donor's blood. It's for the donor's safety. If we drop your iron too low, you're going to feel the effects of that, and it is not going to be good for your body. So your iron has to be at a certain level before we take the donation because it's going to drop after the donation. So that's why some people will be disappointed when they come that their iron is low. It is common with women, unfortunately. But yeah, just know that it's fixable. People can take iron pills. They can eat a lot of steak and spinach if they want to get their iron up. If they're just right on the cusp, they can always do that and then try to come back and donate.
Now, the next one is, I'm too old to donate.
That's a myth. You're never too old to donate blood as long as you are feeling healthy and well and can get yourself to a blood mobile or a blood center. You can donate blood.
Now, what about, is there a certain age that is too young?
Yes, you can be too young. You have to be 16 years or older.
All right, now the next one. Blood can be stored forever.
Myth. I cannot say that enough. So I want people to understand that we're thankful for every donation, but the reason that we ask over and over again for donations is because blood does have a shelf life. Now, different products have different shelf lives, and I could talk about that for another hour. But basically, just know that it's like milk in your fridge. Like, you can keep it in there as long as you want, but at some point it does go bad and it is not useful to you. So we cannot rely on donations that we had 6 months ago. Those are long gone. They're probably used by the hospital, and we are trying to use all of the units that we get in, but it also does have a shelf life. So we're thinking about that when it comes to what we're sending to hospitals and things like that.
Cannot be stored forever. I've marked that one down. I cannot donate if I am on certain types of medication.
That is true. Usually a medication, the most common that I hear about is you cannot donate if you're on an antibiotic for an active infection. So you have a sinus infection, you have an ear infection, you're taking antibiotics for that. You need to be done with those antibiotics before you come in to donate. That's a very common deferral. But the good thing about that is that most likely the next week when you come in, you'll be done with your antibiotic and you'll be good to go. And then another thing is blood thinners. So for obvious reasons. We do not let donors give their own blood thinners because that will not go well for the donation. Their blood will not clot, and then that would just be a problem. So those are the two most common, but there are other medications. The best thing I tell people to do is it doesn't take too long to work that out with a phlebotomist. If you just come in and try and learn about, and we can learn about the medications that you're on, that's the best case scenario, because chances are you are going to be able to donate.
Now, the next one, I can only donate once every 3 months.
Myth. It's once every 2 months. So every 56 days, you can donate whole blood. And then, like I said, if you're giving platelets, which is primarily for cancer patients, you can give that every 2 weeks, up to 24 times a year. So that's a lot more than whole blood. And then there's other blood products you can give where it's a little longer in between, but the most common is every 56 days or every 2 months.
Makes sense. All right, next one. I cannot donate if I have tattoos or piercings.
Myth. Thank you for bringing this up. So as long as you get your tattoo or piercing from somewhere that is a certified place, so you didn't do it yourself or something like that, it's by a certified technician, which most tattoos and piercings are done by, then you can come in and donate blood. And that is a something that has stuck around for many, many years. It used to be a deferral way back, and people just kind of hung on to that. But no, you can give if you have a piercing or a tattoo. We have plenty of donors who do that now, and we're really hoping that they're spreading the word for us.
Yeah, I saw that when, I probably should ask her that, because I think that would be a myth, but I just wanted to check to make sure for my own personal vendetta there.
And you just want to, obviously, with a tattoo, you just want to make sure that it's healed.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like, let your body heal and make sure that you come in when you're feeling, well. And obviously, if the tattoo's on your arm, you don't want us to be near your arm. So just make sure it's healed, and same with the piercing, and you should be fine. Yes.
Next one. We only got two more here. My health could deteriorate after giving blood, potentially.
Myth. So the word health, that's why I said it's a myth. Some people don't feel wonderful after donating, but that is also a very natural response to donating a pint of your blood. Some people, they need to sit for a while. They need to drink a ginger ale. They need to get some snacks. They need to get their sugars up, and then they feel fine. But it's not affecting your overall health. It's not deteriorating your health. It's just that in that moment, your body is reacting to, basically what it's reacting to is a loss of blood, even though it's not the dangerous kind. And your body will recover from that. It produces, your red cells again. And that's why we asked you to wait 56 days. That's why the FDA has that mandate, because they want your body to recover so you're not donating blood every week. That would be unhealthy. But the way that the FDA has it set up is for the donor's health. So that's why it's like that. If people were wondering why we have to wait 2 months. But it's not deteriorating your health. And just remember that you're helping somebody else be healthy, which I think is the most important part.
All right, last one. And this one, I'm actually most eager to hear what you have to say, because this kind of struck me. And I was like, if this is true, like, I definitely need to get over to Blood Connection really soon. People who donate blood tend to live longer.
Oh, my gosh. You've stumped me on that one. here's the thing about that. So I think statistically that's probably true, but here's why I think that is. You have to be healthy to donate blood. So by that I mean, if your blood pressure is too high, unfortunately we're not going to allow you to donate blood for your safety. If you are on a lot of medications and one of them is a blood thinner, or one of them, does disqualify you, usually when you're on a lot of medications, that indicates that that you're needing that medication to fix something in your body. People who give with us, they're very healthy. And that's why we try to say to the community when COVID was happening was, look, sick people are not going to be at our blood centers and blood mobile. People who have COVID knowingly, obviously, and don't feel well are not going to be. This is where people, healthy people come. Those who are still not, they're the ones who are not infected by COVID-19. That's where they're going to come. This is where healthy people come in the community. And so I think because of that, statistically, you're probably going to see that they live longer because they're just healthy. They live a healthier lifestyle. They have all of the qualifications that you need to donate blood, because your levels have to be at a certain point to donate blood and be healthy. So I think that's maybe why that is out there. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I could definitely see that correlation between those two for sure.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Well, she is Allie Van Dyke of the Greenville Blood Connection. And Allie, one more time, just to remind people, where can they go if they want to register to be able to donate blood? Where can they go in order to do that?
Absolutely. So, yes, again, we're in an urgent need right now. So if you're eligible to donate blood or you've never done it, please consider doing that. Bring your family and friends with you. We've got 5 centers in the upstate: Seneca, Easley, Greenwood, Spartanburg, and Greenville. We also have 2 up in the western North Carolina area, if that's closer for people who live north of Greenville. And they are open every single day. We've actually extended our hours so that we can accommodate more donors. Also, we've got blood mobiles out in the community every single day as well, if that's more convenient for you. The bloodconnection.org is the best resource. There's a donate now button in the top right-hand corner. You can click that, type in your zip code, and you can find the closest blood donation site near you. And I just really want to encourage people to do that. Put the fears aside and think about your neighbors, your community members who are in hospital rooms who don't want to be there either. They want to get out. They need the treatment. And it's just really important that we take care of them at all times, but especially right now when our blood supply is low.
Please get out there and donate blood. They desperately need it. And as you heard earlier here in the show, for those that missed it, there was 150 some people it took to give blood in order for one person.
150 units used for one trauma patient. And you know what? Not 150, that's very extreme, but multiple units during one time is very common for hospitals. And on that note, hospitals have told us that even though you'd think during COVID their trauma cases would go down because people are less, you know, out and about and things like that, our hospitals have been telling us their trauma cases haven't really fluctuated during COVID. So that means they're dealing with the same amount of trauma cases and all of the people coming into the ER with COVID. So that we don't want our hospital staff to ever worry about not having enough blood in their blood bank.
Well, thank you so much, Allie, for coming on. And I hope you get all those donations that you need. Okay.
Thank you so much.
That's going to do it for today's show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Again, I'm your host, Timothy Holcomb. Make sure you catch us next week. Later.
You've been listening to Focus on the Upstate with Timothy Holcomb. If you'd like more information on today's topic, email timothy.holcomb@entercom.com.
Well, I'd buy you a house. I would buy you a house.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.